All right, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. It is Brock and Salk, and G just keeps inviting himself in here on Fridays. He said he came in last week. We're like, hey, dude, nice to hang out. He's like, cool, I'll see you next Friday. And so G's back, and he brought his own music.
Hey.
What is that? What was that?
See, this is what he always envisioned, the Brock and Salk G show, right? He always
says Mace? Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Is there always been a little party? It's like, you know, eventually they're going to get this. They're going to figure it out. We're going to have the Brock, Salk, and G show.
Well, 4 years ago,
5 years ago,
when you guys used to bring me on here,
right?
In the morning times, I'd come hang out with you guys. True. Yeah, I always thought you guys were just kind of, you know, like, hey, you know what? We got a spare bedroom. And then maybe, you know, maybe you guys are like, nah, not the bedroom. Maybe we'll give you a pallet. You know, back in the day, you maybe slept on a pallet.
Yeah, like a.
In my grandmama's house, she only had a one bedroom apartment. And all the grandkids used to stay there because my aunts and uncles used to go party all the time. Anyway, everybody make you a pallet.
So you just have a pallet. You put anything on the pallet?
Some blankets on the floor.
Yeah, there you
blankets
go.
Blankets and didn't have enough pillows, so you just grabbed a couch pillow.
Right. It's fine until somebody comes by with a forklift, and then you're in trouble.
And then Demetrius used to pee on himself all the time.
What?
So that used to mess things up.
Demetrius? How old was Demetrius?
Demetrius.
Oh, Demetrius. How old was Demetrius?
Like 25.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Demetrius, clean it up.
No, I'm being serious.
What is he, like Jim Boeheim?
Demetrius was like 9. But the fact that you're 9, there's a difference peeing on yourself at 2 and 3.
What
and
about
9.
At 73? How old is Jim Boeheim, Kyle?
Yeah, he was 74.
And he peed his pants just this week.
Yeah, younger than 10, you're okay. Older than 70, you're okay.
You get a pass after 70?
No question.
I feel like if you're out in public and coaching a team, you've got to go. Doesn't become a factor.
You're discounting is that game had gone to overtime. Boeheim was planning to use the restroom long beforehand. He's sitting there. The game just keeps going and going.
You know what? I apologize. I apologize to Jim Boeheim, the whole Boeheim family. What do you make of Paxton Lynch coming in here, G?
This is a good thing for Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying.
This is a good thing for Paxton Lynch. I was actually talking to one of the guys from Rivals. That's the scouting report for high school. Back in the day, Paxton Lynch was a 3-star coming out of Florida. 6'7", big kid. You know what I'm saying? Which I know Salk doesn't like that kind of talk. But anyway, he was a 3-star. Went to Memphis and got there and had a decent little career and just sprout up and made it to the first round. Mm-hmm. Paxton Lynch ain't that good, y'all.
No kidding.
But it's a good thing. Again, it's a good thing for him. And it's a good thing for Lee Steinberg.
Lee Steinberg is his agent. He said it, yes. He came on with Danny David Moore. He said that.
Well, I think that the opportunity to learn behind Russell Wilson, we saw how that benefited Patrick Mahomes, for example, when he sat behind Alex Smith. But I think as a mentor, it's a particularly bright, one, and in a sense, we're restarting Paxton's career.
Gee, you ever thought about having like a high-powered agent like that?
Who, like a Lee Steinberg?
Like Lee Steinberg.
Lee Steinberg's doing his job.
That's a
great agent. And you heard him say it's a great thing for him to restart. I mean, he is saying it essentially right there. So if you're going to have an agent who is responsible, like, hey, look, Paxton Lynch, your debut first-round pick was not that good. Let me repackage you a little bit. Let me get you into Pete Carroll. Let me get you in the room with Russell Wilson. And there you can't lose with that package. Now we repackage you up, and then in a couple years, send you back out there.
You know, one of the knocks, and I've got some friends out in Denver. Stokely's going to be on with us here in about 25 minutes, 8:30. Brandon Stokely does radio out there, and the knock against him was he was lazy. He just didn't work out. You know, got his money, got a bunch of dough, was a first-round pick, and you know, gee, we've seen this story before. Mm-hmm. You've been around that facility for decades. You see the guys that come in and get a little cash and just kind of like, oh, you know, I've earned it. I've arrived, rather than go out and really perform and get it done and actually earn it. How many dudes over there are just into video games at an alarming rate?
Nobody's into video games like they used to be. Like, I'm going to tell you, there used to be, I can tell this now because it's not there anymore. Inside the facility, there used to be a video game room where the guys would actually come and play. That was led by Lofa Tatupu, Leroy Hill, a lot of those guys, Jordan Babineau, even though Jordan Babineau used to lose bets all the time, and he would never pay his bets. Shout out to Jordan.
Oh, wow.
But anyways.
Jeez.
So it was a lot of video games that was being played during that time. Today, That doesn't happen anymore. Guys are really focused. Guys are in their iPads. Guys are sitting. No, right.
No, I had a different question for you on the same lines.
Because it's a different NFL.
A lot of the guys have played video games. Certainly they go home. I remember Cam Chancellor talking to us and saying, hey, what do you like to do? I go home and play video games. Okay. I remember, who was it that we were in? Jordan Hill. Oh, hey, Jordan, what happened the night that the kid went to the hospital? Well, I went back and played video games.
Cam Chancellor was just saying that for the conversation, for the radio. Cam Chancellor was not playing a lot of, those guys were not playing a lot of video games.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Russell Wilson's ever played a video game?
Sure. I'm sure. He goes to Children's Hospital on Tuesdays.
Fair enough. So he plays with the kids.
Yeah.
Russell's ever gone home and been like, I'm just going to play a little Madden?
Those guys are business. They've been business.
I know.
That's the difference in the culture over there with the Seahawks. I remember back in the day, you go to the mid-2000s, right? You could go out on a Friday, Saturday night here in the Seattle area, and you can find a lot of the starters out there partying on a Friday night because that's just what they did. Then you saw something change. Something started to change where the Cam Chancellors, Richard Shermans, they was like, hey, you know what? We just kind of get it to the house. And it was kind of like, hey, man, what you doing partying on a Friday night? You want to party? You say you want to be serious about this game? Look, the average NFL career lasts 2.7 years. You want to go out there and party? Good luck to you. So that's what's been happening here, the culture with the Seahawks.
How much do you think of that actually is, you know, I guess we can spin this almost in a maybe the positive way for the first time. How much do you think of that is actually this thing, this little phone right here? You can't go out anymore. You know, back in the day, I was looking at something, and there was like a Hollywood and the stars 20 years ago, Leonardo DiCaprio and those guys could go out, you know, and you have the paparazzi are there taking pictures through the bushes.
Yeah.
But now, anybody and everybody, you know, you go
they
out.
They see you.
Oh, yeah, they see you, and they snap you, and they photo you, and they're videoing you. And how much of that you think also is a byproduct, possibly, of, you know, you reach, you know, and they are stars now. Back in the day, you know, when it was low, there weren't the star power.
I think it's a great point you make, Brock. I mean, you go back
I'm not diminishing your professionalism and work ethic at all, because you've certainly got those drivers.
Oh, there's a lot to what you said. I mean, you go back to the 1998 flu game in which Michael Jordan, quotes, had the flu. I mean, Michael Jordan had no damn flu. Michael Jordan was hungover. Sorry, in those kind of situations. But back then, anybody could be the media and take that. Right today, anybody could be the media.
Is that true?
Those pictures. Man,
is that true? Michael Jordan was hungover. Come on. He had the flu. Don't you ruin that incredible tale. Michael Jordan wasn't hungover. What's the matter with you? How could you say such a thing? How could you come on the radio and say that?
Because I can.
Because you were in Chicago at the time.
It's Brock and Salk.
That is terrible. I can't believe such a thing. You were just destroying people's childhood narratives.
Somebody's triggered.
Somebody needs to say it, I guess. I didn't even like Jordan, so that's actually good news. I like that. Thank you. That's some of the best news I've heard. Cool. All right. Well, we're ready for the weekend, G. We got four teams, two games to watch. Brock and I were going to talk a little bit about kind of what we should expect and what a Seahawks fan would want to watch when you're looking at each of these teams. Brock, you want to kind of get that going?
Yeah, just from a football perspective, I don't know how you take it in. How do you consume it this weekend? Are you rooting for guys? Are you rooting against them? G, do you find yourself comparing them against the Seahawks? Or, you know, can you just watch the ball without much of a vested interest?
Well, I think you want everybody to win but the Rams, right? Like, I mean, there's just nothing to like about the Rams except for...
That's what I said.
Sean McVay's a good-looking dude, right? He's a good-looking guy. You know what I mean?
He's not pretty like cool. Cliff Kingsbury good-looking. Like, he's okay.
He's better looking than Cliff Kingsbury.
No, stop it. Cliff Kingsbury looks like, what's the guy's name?
No.
Ryan Gosling.
No.
Stop it.
Sean McVay's better looking.
No, he's not.
His face proportion is all good. It's like the nose, cheeks,
no.
Chin.
And let's be clear, none of them are in Jimmy Garoppolo's category. So.
No, he's pretty good looking.
Right, that's a whole different category.
Yeah. I'll give you four things here. Each of these teams, individually, besides the looks of the head coaches,
mm-hmm.
I'll give you four things. And I'm sure.
Because who wins in the Belichick-Andy Reid battle?
Those are two hot. With 90 bodies right there. There's no question.
I'm still messed up at the time that I was actually next to Andy Reid. You ever seen what Andy Reid stands in? You've seen it, Brock. You've seen his shoes? Like, I'm like, man, are those like prosthetics? Like, what are those you're standing in,
Why?
Andy Reid?
What do you mean?
Because his ankles, man, his ankles are like as big as your computer screen. And you're like, man, like... And I don't know how you got some fat ankles, Andy Reid. Like, you guys look at his stomach, and that's the only thing you guys ever see. Andy Reid has fat ankles.
Multiply Graz's shoes and the whole deal by 10.
Yes!
Like, you wear shape-ups?
Yeah.
Graz goes strictly shape-ups. even after they were recalled.
Just multiple.
Have you heard and over. Read all those stories about Andy Reid as a kid? I mean, he was a punt, pass, and kick champion. He was this giant kid.
He
was this crazy athlete.
Big dude.
All right, go ahead, Brock. I'm sorry.
Kansas City. When it comes to Kansas City, this is for me, for a Seahawks fan, okay? Just a little kind of geeky football here. If you're a Seahawks fan watching these games, like, what should I watch for when it comes to the Seahawks? What are these teams doing that I want to see my Seahawks doing? And I went on earlier this week and said very clearly, I don't want you imitating. Imitating's not good. So I'm not looking for imitation, but I think there's something in each of these teams the Seahawks can learn from. And for Kansas City, it's their screen game. Big old cankles. You know, maybe a little awkward at times. That man is creative, as Tim Hasselbeck said. In their screen game, the Seahawks took steps this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they were so bad in years past in their screen game. They actually had some creative screens this year. Tight end screens and bubble screens and running back screens and deep play action pass screens. They did some of that. I think there's more room to grow, and when you watch that...
You think there's more room to grow in the Seahawks screen game?
Yes.
You think it could be better than terrible?
It was not terrible.
You think it'd be better than almost zero?
It was not.
I do too. I'm with you, Brock. I also think if the Seahawks watch the Kansas City Chiefs, they'll see that screens are possible. They could watch the Patriots too.
Hugely effective.
They could watch that whole game because Seahawks have been terrible at screens the entire time I've lived in Seattle.
Yes, G.
What stands out to me is what we got coming up this playoffs on Sunday is the fact that I think the team that plays the best defense.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that play the best defense will go ahead, and
yeah.
those will go further.
Yep.
The crazy thing is no, Seahawks fans, don't look at these offenses, and don't get trapped in the Brock sitting here saying that the Seahawks need to do better screen games. No, the Seahawks offense was good enough to win the Super Bowl this year. The Seahawks defense did not come through third down 14. So when those the type of things start to happen, the Seahawks need to continue to do what they do. Their Seahawks offense was just fine. Now, unfortunately, the last great defense that we'll ever probably see will be the Seahawks 2013-2014 teams because the defense is something that nobody wants to talk about now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about the offense. And you want to talk offense?
They say they are, G. Brock and I kind of get into this with the listeners. You'd be surprised. I mean, you start asking people which they actually want to improve this offseason.
Yeah.
77% of people said defense.
Because they know. That's our stick.
Right. Well,
that's
I mean,
the Seahawks stick.
Well, but that I think that's important. I mean, there is a loud group, I don't know how large they are, but they're very loud, who is talking a lot about the offensive problems. That doesn't mean they can't get better in different parts of the offensive game.
Yep.
They could absolutely be better at the screen
game. Along those lines.
And the Patriots and Chiefs show you how.
Okay, with the Patriots, you know, what they have done and what Tom Brady has always had. And what Andy Reid is, he's an O-line guy. He's one of the few O-line guys that's turned into great coordinators and head coaches. Mm-hmm. Most O-line guys, and you've been around ball, and your son is, and you know, O-line guys live in their world. They live in their box. They live in their numbers. They live in this 5-5. They don't see the big picture. He's really good. New England, for all of these years with Tom, it's been Tom and Bill, and what else? An unbelievable offensive line coach, and when he was absent, they went in the tank at one of their worst years.
True.
So they do a tremendous job, and Kansas City will rush. You saw it last week. They will rush. Watch New England protect them and watch their screen and their scheme go about doing so.
Kansas City Chiefs today are the iPhones compared to what they used to be in 2008 when they were the Palm Pilot. By the way, the Palm Pilot was the worst invention ever. Now, but can I just take you down memory lane?
We're sitting on that analogy.
What about the Trio?
I never
Palm
had that.
Trio?
Never had that.
I had that.
Yeah.
It was the second worst invention ever.
On social media, we have been doing the 10-year challenge, right?
Yep.
Well, let's go back to 10 years ago. Well, you take 11 years ago, but 2018, back to 2008, you'll like this reference I'm going to give you guys. In 2008, the Kansas City Chiefs went 2-14 that season, right? Their quarterbacks started off with Brody Coyle, Damon Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
By week 7, they were out. Tyler Thigpen came in. He became the starting quarterback. They went Chan Gailey, who was the coach, offensive coordinator, went to the University of Florida and wanted to see their spread offense. Here's my point. They implemented the spread offense then. The yards were great. They were impressive. But everybody destroyed them and talked bad about them doing the spread offense during that time. Here we are today, 10 years later. What are we talking about? The spread offense today is all the magic in the bells and whistles.
It's infiltrated the league. There's no question. Mm. So how then do you define the Rams system? Because coaches in this league, G, just got jobs by being friends of friends. On the resume or in the press release with the Cardinals, I don't know if you saw that, Cliff Kingsbury's resume, because he's under 500 in college and there really was nothing to write about, they did write friends with Sean McVay on their press release with his
so
offense.
Silly.
But I like transparency.
Hey, we're just going to come out and tell you we're not a good organization.
Yep.
We're hiring this guy for all the wrong reasons, but we're going to tell you about it at least.
That's our problem in society. When we get the truth, we don't like it.
Well, fair.
Sometimes.
True.
The Rams are fascinating. The Rams, gee, don't live like in this spread and do all these crazy things. They live 96% of the time in one personnel. They run their fly sweep, their jet sweep, their power, their screen game, and their same concepts off of all of that stuff. And when you watch the Rams, watch them Sunday, and when you watch them, just put in Chris Carson and Todd Gurley's role. And trust me on this. Trust me that will be one of the biggest concentration points this offseason for this team. In talking to people there and talking to people around the team, they want Chris Carson to do a lot more. This year, he couldn't. This year was baby steps, man. This year, and even with that, was a 1,000-yard season. But you will see them implement him more, just as the Rams implement Todd Gurley really in every phase of their offense.
I said something about 5 minutes ago. I'm going to ask you guys again. Were you guys okay with the Seahawks offense this year? What have you and the listeners been saying? Was the offense enough for you, or did you guys need to see more? Because for me, I want to say the offense was much better than expected.
It's the second highest production they've ever had in their history in terms of offense.
They scored six more touchdowns this year than they did in any Bevel year, including the Super Bowl years. They scored 50 touchdowns this year. They scored on opening drives. Remember that? They went drive for 3 years on opening drives.
They scored
touchdowns four different times, on opening drives this year. They were, the top three most explosive team in the league. Tyler Lockett did something never done in the history of the NFL. Russell had a career year. You had a 1,000-yard rusher. Yes, you had all of those things this season.
All right, so what am I missing?
Nothing. I don't think Brock is saying the Seahawks have a problem. He's just saying that here are ways and things that you can look at.
You want Chris Carson? You guys want Chris Carson to play different?
No.
Yeah, I want him to do more.
But I think he can. Wait,
he can do more.
No one said he can do more. You don't think Chris Carson can add catching the ball to his resume and be even better at that? And be an even and add something else that they can do?
I don't think that's his.
Of course he can.
That's not his game.
Well, they said it was his game. It's one of the things they've consistently said is that he is somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and they like that. You disagree. I know I've heard you say it before.
You've been to practice.
I know. You don't like him or Rashad Penny catching the ball out of the backfield.
You guys
I've heard you say that.
He is not Thomas Rawls or Eddie Lacy out of the backfield. All right, those guys.
That is disrespect. Why would you even bring Eddie Lacy into this conversation?
Right. He's not Eddie Lacy in that he's a running back, which is a huge step in the right direction. And he's not Thomas Rawls in that he's not completely nutso. So, yes, you're right, Brock. He's not. But, gee, I don't think it's unusual for people to want to see those develop, especially the better players on their team. Chris Carson was great this year, and their offense was great. That doesn't mean it can't be better, especially in a league where offense is getting easier and easier to play. Of course they can improve. What do I want to see them get better at? I want to see them get better at defense, and I know Brock's last takeaway here is about the Saints and what they do defensively.
Yeah, New Orleans, you have to watch. If you're a Seahawks fan and you lost to the Rams twice and the Rams went up and down the field against you both times, you did not stop them at all. In that first matchup, if you remember, the Rams, had over 300 yards on first down. In the first matchup in Seattle, the L.A. Rams had over 311 yards on first down against the Seahawks defense. It has to get better. In the second matchup, they went up and down the field as well. What have the teams that have stopped them late in the year done? What did the Bears do? How did the vaunted Bears stop them? They destroyed the edges of the line of scrimmage.
Really?
Watch Sean Payton. Watch that group. Mike, everything is predicated in their jet sweep and on their edge.
Well, that's
whether
what I wondered.
Game.
So is it by getting upfield or is it by crashing in?
It was Khalil Mack. Obviously was an enormous part about that. It was their defensive line. It was safeties getting involved. It was all facets of that group. It's not a single thing.
No, I understand.
If you do not win the edge against the Rams,
right,
you do not beat the
Rams. I guess my understanding of the way that Rams running game works is they set you up. They set up those defensive ends nonstop. If you want to come crashing in, they'll run the jet sweep. If you want to make sure you get a field to stop the jet sweep, then they run off tackle inside of you. So what is it that defensive end needs to do in order to dominate?
The exact same thing the Stanford defensive ends did to Chip Kelly, and he couldn't beat him. And that is own that turf on my terms, not on your terms. You're trying to influence me. You're trying to block me down, all those things you talked about. What those big old Stanford DNs do to Chip Kelly? Nope. Stuck their long arms of the law out, said, I am not moving off my spot, and you're not moving me, and you are not influencing me, and I am winning this edge of the line of scrimmage. And I think that was where that game, at least for the Saints, if they're going to play any defense. Now, they're down Sheldon Rankins, one of their better defensive linemen, and that's a significant loss for them. You know, I was also looking at, I think I tweeted out, that out of these teams left, 11 of the top 15 cap numbers on these teams are spent at the line of scrimmage. Mm. Like, we all want to talk about spread and throw it around, all these stats, QB and everything else. You better have your artillery at the line of scrimmage in this league, or you will not be on this stage. You will not play on this stage next year if your lines of scrimmage, especially in this Seahawks style and scheme, is not better.
Am I the only one who wants the Patriots to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Because I just like being a part and seeing history.
You,
I
want to be no you and Maura.
I want to be a part. And,
she's a Patriots fan.
I want you and Maura.
You and Patriots fans.
I want to tell my grandkids. I want to tell my grandkids that I've witnessed this dude, Tom Brady. Yeah, but I would get more.
Well, so what? You already can. Well, you think that this one more Super Bowl is going to change the conversation?
Dude, nobody thinks they can. They're the underdog.
True. Oh, I don't know, man. I feel like you could tell your grandkids or whoever else that you saw him. I mean, your kids got a chance to see him, too, so you don't need to tell them. But you can tell your grandkids or whatever.
Baby G probably going to play against him.
That's
Tom Brady's going to keep going and going and going.
He may be catching passes from him. Who knows?
Oh, I
have 45-year-old Tom Brady throwing a baby G after now, he gets drafted by the Patriots.
Right now he's catching passes from Brock's nephew.
Really?
How about that?
I don't know. Hey, I'm looking at this picture of Andy Reid when he did punt, pass, and kick. Have you ever actually seen the picture in the Rams uniform? Have you seen it, Brock? I'm serious.
Yes, bro. They showed it.
It's unbelievable.
Yes,
I know. I've seen it
time.
Before. I just pulled it up again to look at it. The kid behind him can't come up to his mid back. The kid behind him can't possibly make it up to his mid back.
Will you please tweet that out?
Look, people have seen this though, right?
No,
they haven't.
No.
Andy Reid got cankles.
He's twice the size of any other kid doing punt, pass, and kick. It's bizarre.
Are they wearing helmets?
Yes, they're wearing Rams helmets.
Brock, I picture this is like what Titus looks like at his little league.
Titus,
like, he's just so much taller than everyone else.
If I remember that story right, they had to like go and get an actual NFL helmet. Like all the other kids got to wear the toy helmets. But I think they had to go get that poor Andy like an NFL uniform. Because he was just a different kind of kid. Hey, quick question. Last question.
What do you got, bro?
If Baby G could play for any of these teams, any of these quarterbacks, any of these coaches, any of these teams, like right now, tomorrow, right? He was not going to the Ohio State, but he was, you know, going to go into the NFL. He could play for any of these teams.
And Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's the one you'd want him to play for?
Right now. If you said right today, hey, he can go and play on a team. Kansas City Chiefs, that offense, Andy Reid is a quarterback whisperer. Because no matter what quarterback comes in and rocks with Andy Reid, they're going to be good. Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're kind of seeing, okay, let's see what McVay does, see what Kingsbury does. But let's be real. This could go out in phase two. This could be something like the Reid option that could phase away in like 2-3 years.
Saw Robert Kraft talking about this on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Said Tom Brady is the greatest player of all time. He's not the GOAT when it comes to just quarterbacks. Let's end that debate. That's long been settled with 10 Super Bowls and all the wins. Is Tom Brady the greatest football player in the history of the league? All positions accounted for.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. You're talking about 13 AFC championships that he's a part of in his career. You're talking, this is a possibility. What is this, 8 in a row for this Tom Brady? Yeah, I don't know. I think the second argument might be Lawrence Taylor, right? Like, when I think the greatest player of all time, that's what I kind of go
You don't go with Jerry Rice? Because I don't. I go with Lawrence Taylor. No. I'm right there with you.
I changed
the game in so many different ways. And I know Jerry Rice is going to be in the conversation also.
Mom pants.
Lauren, I mean, like, you just never convinced me there was somebody
Jerry
better than
wore
Lawrence
mom
Taylor.
Pants.
Jerry wore mom pants, and whenever he came out of the facility back in 2000 or whatever that was, mom pants, they were flooding, and he had a penny in the penny loafers.
G, we got to go. We got to get out of here. G, you can always listen to G Nights over on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo FM. G is on at 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock.
7 to 10.
7 to 10. I'm sorry. 7 to 10. I'm in bed by then. I get to hear you at 7. I don't get to hear you in the 9 o'clock hour. G, thanks for coming by, man. Maybe we'll see you next week.
Okay. Well, no, you guys will see me next week.
Okay. G's just going to keep coming back. I said maybe. You know, like maybe we'll see you next week.
I'll see you.
All right, we'll see you next week. Next, though, we're going to talk to Brandon Stokely. You remember him as Seahawks wide receiver, longtime Peyton Manning buddy. He and Brock will be competitive about Peyton Manning, and we'll learn a little something about Paxton Lynch next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Is
Seahawks make a decision yesterday to sign Paxton Lynch, former first-round quarterback, to a futures deal to be a backup here in Seattle. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We're going to talk to Brandon Stokely coming up in just a moment. Former Seahawk, played here for, about a year? Not even, but had a big play, a touchdown catch in the Beastquake game against the Saints that year. And he's now doing radio for our sister station there at 104.3 The Fan in Denver. So we'll talk to Brandon coming up in a few minutes. But he's sort of the story of the day, which is... I mean, look, quarterbacks are the story of the day. I'm not sold that this guy's even going to be their backup quarterback this year.
I would agree with that.
Right. I mean, there's going to be more competition at that position.
It's taking a flyer. It's taking a flyer on a talented kid that was a former first-round pick that's got a bunch of tools that you like. And you should have learned this about this regime. I mean, this is what Pete and John do. I mean, they go back to that class in 2013 with Fluke and Mingo and all those guys and Jokel. And they're going to give guys that, you know, were former first-round picks. They're former first-round picks largely for a reason. Because they've got a skill set that's a little bit unique, a little bit different, and what does Pete always do? Well, give me unique. And this kid's, you know, uniquely gifted. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He got all the arm strength that you want. It's just, unfortunately for him, he didn't have the work ethic, he didn't have the football acumen, and he wasn't prepared to be a first-round pick for John Elway in Denver, where, by the way, outside of Peyton Manning's little years, they are so desperately searching for a franchise guy.
It's funny that LA struggled to find it. But you talked about this the other day, and I think it's a good point. It's not a shot at John Schneider because he did what he had to do. He found Russell Wilson.
Yes.
But other than that, their quarterback record is dismal. And that's okay. I mean, none of them have had a chance to really develop. But you start going through it, and it's Charlie Whitehurst. It's Matt Flynn. I mean, Tavares Jackson was fine. He kind of did what they needed him to do. That's probably the best of the bunch. But then again, you know, you got Trevon Boykin and Alex Magoo and Brady Quinn, Jake Heaps. I mean, you just kind of go through this list. None of them have turned into anything.
Yeah, Heaps just didn't get a shot. Let's be very clear.
Obviously.
About that.
If Jake had gotten a shot, Jake would be
for
fine.
For some reason, he got the raw end of the deal. Maybe because he wasn't a first round
Austin
pick
Nate
or whatever.
Davis. Yep. I mean, you know, they haven't done anything with that position. I want to know what they want from the job. And that's what I'm never quite clear of. Do you want somebody to be not a mentor anymore, but just a partner for Russell Wilson? Well, if that's the case, I don't think that's Paxton Lynch. Do you want somebody that you can develop and then get value from later on down the road?
Yes.
Well, I don't think that's him either. So it's a little confusing. I want to find out more about him. Let's talk to Brandon Stokely from 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He joins us here on the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, Brandon. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What should we know about Paxton Lynch?
It was an ultimate failure in Denver, that's for sure. You know, they moved up to get him in the first round, gave him a lot of opportunities. And to stick up for him a little bit, they didn't put him in the best possible situation to be successful. They tried to make him a under-the-center quarterback in the Gary Kubiak offense, and that just didn't work out. And very athletic guy. But very inaccurate with the football. So I saw when he was going to Seattle yesterday, and I think that could be a good spot. Learn how to be a pro, learn how to be a professional, and learn from one of the best in Russell Wilson.
Hey, Brandon, now you jumped into this world of radio, bro, talking every single day as you get a chance to do out in Denver. Have you figured out?
I missed you the other day. I missed you the other day when you were in town.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of bummed about that.
Did you get any of the donuts and danishes Brock brought so that everybody around the world will like him? Oh, everybody has to like me. I'm the perfect person.
That is a nice touch, Brock. I can't lie. I like those donuts.
Good.
Your boy Zach is like in love with him. He texted me afterwards. He's like, oh my God, Brock's so nice. He's so nice. Oh.
Have you figured out? Hey, does Zach treat you like that too? Or is Zach nice to you?
Zach's
three
too
hours
nice.
A day?
There's no way Zach makes fun of Brandon.
Yeah, no. Zach's nice to me.
He builds you up. He empowers you. Encourages you.
Yeah, he's a great partner. He's a great side.
I don't ever get that. No, that's all right. I need Salk to keep me humble. Hey, have you figured out why these guys can't get the quarterback position right? I mean, you guys are so searching for that. When I was out there, I did have a chance to jump on with Pritch and talk about it. And you guys are still in this search from your seat. You played with the greatest ever, one of. You know, the greatest ever there with Tom. I put Peyton up there in that pedestal, one of the five best to ever do it. Why can't these guys, even John Elway, get that position right?
I mean, that's a great question. Look, I think when you look at the quarterback position in college and you look at the quarterback position in the NFL, it's two totally, completely different games. And then all of a sudden they get to the NFL and these coaches aren't very flexible in what they're asking these guys to do. And they're saying, hey, no, you're going to run it. You're going to be a pocket quarterback. But I think now you're starting to see the trend of putting more of the college game into the NFL game to help this transition of these college quarterbacks. You know, it's only taken, I don't know how long it's been, but too long for these NFL coaches to realize, hey, we got to change what we're doing to help these guys out a little bit more and help their transition become easier. And I see, and I think you're starting to see that more and more in the NFL game, and that will help these guys out. But it's hard. It's hard to evaluate these guys and figure out how they'll transition from that college game to the NFL game.
Brandon Stokely with us, played a bunch of different places along the way at a high level in the NFL, long time. Now he's a host at 104.3 The Fan over there in Denver. So from your opinion, Brandon, you said kind of the accuracy and the system fit and everything else. Ultimately, if it works for Paxton Lynch in Seattle, it works because of what?
Because he learned a lot. He's been humbled in the last, I guess you want to say, what is it, 6-7 months that he's been out of a job. And he's realized a lot that, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL is a commitment. And it's more of a commitment than any other player on the roster. And I got to show up early. I got to leave late. I got to do all the extra things. So I think he has learned a lot from his absence in the 6 or 7 months and been humbled. And hopefully he has done that. And some guys do and some guys never figure it out. And, you know, Brock, it's the saying of learn how to be a pro. And for young guys, that's a hard thing to do. So I think he's in a good spot there, though, with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and learning from one of the best. So hopefully this is a good spot for him, and hopefully he has learned a lot from being released, and we'll see.
Can I take you back in time for just a moment, a few years? And I know you've been in some big games in your life, but could I take you back to January 8th, 2011? Do you know where you were on January 8th, 2011 off the top of your head?
January 8th, 2011. No, not off the top of my head.
You were right here in Seattle at CenturyLink Field. You caught a 45-yard touchdown pass in a playoff game against the New Orleans Saints from Matt Hasselbeck. Is it coming back now?
Yes, it's coming back.
All right.
It is, definitely coming back.
What was,
now.
Were you
what
on,
was
the play?
What was the play you caught that on?
It was just a corner route, and we had like a stack formation, and they just blew the coverage, or else I wouldn't have got that open. So, teams had to blow coverages for me to score a touchdown. So they blew a coverage, and there I was, and Hasselbeck made a good throw. But what a fun game that was.
All right, well, that's what I wanted to ask, because obviously that was a big moment for you in that game. But what I'm wondering is, were you on the field or were you on the sideline when this happened?
Turn and hand to Lynch, left side. Finds a little bit of a hole, keeps his legs moving. He's across the 40, midfield, 45, he's on the run, Lynch. 40, pushes him at 35, look at him go. He's down to 20, 15, he's going to go. He is going to go. Touchdown, Seahawks. Oh, my word. A 67-yard run. Marshawn Lynch. Unbelievable.
What was your angle for that play?
I was behind the play, and at that time I was just hoping that we'd get a first down so we wouldn't have to punt to them. They had all the momentum. It was still a one-score game at that time, and so I was just hoping we'd get a first down. So I was kind of behind the play, and I wasn't in the game at that time, and I was just hoping that we'd get a first down. But it was unbelievable. I mean, what an environment that was. What a fun year for me to go to Seattle and play on that football team. But it was unbelievable. What an environment and what a game that was.
See, when we bring guests on, Brandon, we want to build them up, right? We want to encourage them.
I know. That's what I like about y'all. Man, anytime y'all want to have me on, I love
it. We don't do this for stink. When Schlereth comes on, we're generally not this nice to him. I'll be clear.
Yeah, but Schlereth.
We don't do that for offensive line.
No,
Schlereth. He doesn't have any highlights.
Schlereth never did this.
Hasselbeck takes the snap. He's looking left all the way. Now he's going to let it fly. Stokely wide open downfield. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown, Seahawks. The 45-yard touchdown reception, Brandon Stokely. Holy smoke. What a great play. What a great pass by Hasselbeck. And Brandon Stokely runs right past everybody for 6 points, and the Seahawks take the lead.
You working today?
I am working today. It is snowing here in Denver. But I tell you what, my year in Seattle, it was a blast. And it was Pete Carroll's first year, and there was a lot going on. But what a great organization. What a great fan base. And I tell you, I had so much fun that year. I thought my football career was over. getting cut by Denver and landing there in Seattle. And just what a fun year, going to the playoffs and actually winning a game against the defending Super Bowl champ Saints was crazy. And that game against the Saints was unbelievable. So I have fond memories of my 4, 5, 6 months there in Seattle.
Well, we'll send you that MP3 of that play today, and you can tell Zach, I kind of touched down.
Right. We just need to, we'll just play it like every hour.
Yeah, right. For sure. Do it today.
We're going to have Jordan Babineau on later, and we're going to have his dropped interception against Chicago the next week, and it won't be nearly as pretty as this conversation.
That's so. Two Bab shots. I know. That this hour.
I'm going to take that. I'll take that one all day. I was furious the next day that he dropped that ball.
Thank you, Brandon, for jumping on with
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy. Say hi to Zach for us.
Have a good one.
All right, there you go. There's See Brandon Stokely. 104.3 The Fan, our sister station in Denver.
Good dude. He and I on a recruiting trip together, the Baltimore Ravens, coming out of the draft way back when, and he ended up getting drafted there. And I believe beginning his career and his run on some really
actually, I do
teams.
Remember him there. Yeah. Kind of a kick. He did like some kick returning and stuff like that at the beginning, right?
Yeah, and they're bad on offense, but they were really good on defense.
As it turns out. Yeah, they had a pretty good defense on that team. All right, well, we've learned a little bit about Paxton Lynch. I don't know whether any of it
inaccurate.
Says that he's going
like
to be like a great player for the Seahawks, but it sure sounds like this is going to be a great move for him. All right, the phone lines are going to be open in 20 minutes. Do you guys have anything to say today? Seriously.
I'm nervous about this.
I am too.
Seriously.
I mean, we knew we could do open phone lines all through football season, but now the Seahawks are like, do you guys have anything to say today? Open phone lines coming up in 20 minutes, 206-421-3776, right after the news on Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right. I hope people have something to say. Open phone lines in 15 minutes because we'll shut that thing down. We'll shut it down. Shut it down now.
Man, this text boy is mad.
They have been mad.
Man, so mad the Seahawks aren't playing. Here's what's left. Those that, were on the ride in the roller coaster with the Seahawks stayed on, and they were happy. We had first-time callers, all sorts of people, lots of texters. Well, they've all left.
They left.
They've all just
they're
tuned,
done.
They're
we'll
tuned
catch
out.
Them maybe in August.
They're pruning, they're gardening, they're cleaning closets. My poor wife couldn't find hangers at Target. Like, where do all our hangers go? They're like these loose socks. How do these loose socks show up?
Hangers? I have so many. You can have all of mine. I have to bring them places because I just to get rid of them
trips,
all.
And they're not even the white. Like, they're sold out. So people are out, and then the remaining folks that are left are just spitting fire.
It's mad.
Man.
All right, well, we'll get the open lines going here in 15 minutes. Right now, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seahawks signed quarterback Paxton Lynch yesterday. He was a first-round pick by the Broncos in 2016.
Yeah, I want to lean and say, like, no news. This is a long shot to make the roster and everything else, but it's a quarterback position, and it's Russell and nobody else. Again, nobody else as Magoo signs elsewhere, and obviously the Boykin deal was a disaster, and they've just not been able to get that room full of at least value. That's what I want. You said, what do you want out of this deal? If Paxton Lynch plays next year for the Seahawks, that's bad news. But you know what I want? I want them to develop him and grow and get him better and have a great preseason. All of a sudden, who knows? You do create some value in a league starving for quarterbacks. Brett Hundley got a fifth.
I got that wrong the other day. Apologies. It was
gave
a
up a six-round pick for Brett Hundley.
Right, but Brett Hundley had gone out and played a little bit. I mean, Paxton Lynch just kept losing his job to other backups who got cut. That's not a good sign. I'm going to call it bad news, and it doesn't mean that this is like serious and going to be a problem for them, but I fail to see right now what value Paxton Lynch brings to the Seahawks. I understand what value they bring to his life.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Husky men's basketball team remains undefeated in conference play after beating Stanford 80-64 last night.
Yeah, it's definitely good news. It's a bummer they weren't able to do a little bit more in non-conference play to start the year, but they're taking care of business, and they look pretty darn good doing it. Now, they are playing against the dregs, so if you want to go no news here, I will understand. But you know what? It was a couple of years ago that they were struggling to beat some of these bad teams, and they're not now. Their concentration is there. Hop has them playing the right game the right way and playing with each other. They got some guys who are some real interesting athletes, and obviously, Jalen Noel is the best of the best there. But when you watch Naz Carter and his leaping ability, the springiness that he has, Noah Dickerson's old man game, and just the way he bodies people up, which is unique. You watch, obviously, Thibault and his defensive pressure, etc. They are a good team. I don't know if they're going to be a good enough team. That's all said.
Yeah, it's good news. And a chance to get to 5-0. Cal's horrific. Cal loses yesterday to a winless in conference Coug team. So they're going to be 5-0 and 13-4. But this season will be predicated on their their battles with the Arizona schools and the Oregon schools. Mm. You know, possibly UCLA, they've kind of found a little bit of their footing, but it will be those games. And can you go on the road and sweep those schools? Can you beat them? Because likewise, they're good. There's nobody that's great in this conference at all. And you are the senior battle-tested team. Show it over the course of this Pac-12 season. But as of right now, in conference, great news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Speaking of the Huskies, Chris Peterson hired Junior Adams as his new wide receivers coach.
Yeah, to me, largely no news. I did a little bit of digging here. You know, this was a wanted job. There was actually an old local guy that I think was in the running for it, had a shot at it that I was kind of rooting for. This is one that doesn't necessarily move the needle. As I did a little bit of research, good guy. You know, he's going to get his opportunity to see, you know, if he can recruit and develop. But to me, no news.
I'm sorry, what?
Receiver coach.
Okay, no news. Okay.
We could, like, predicted your answer to a T. Huh? Huh?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Tim Tebow received an invitation to the Mets Major League Spring Training.
This is the knowiest of no news.
Great news.
The news. This news story lead should be Tim Tebow's agent is GM of the Mets.
Well, I mean, that's another way to phrase it, Mike.
Two ways of telling the same story.
He's earned the opportunity. Good for you, Timmy.
He's going to play in the majors.
He will.
At some point.
Oh, he definitely will. He definitely
It's going to be pretty remarkable for all the crud we've given Tim Tebow over the years.
He's not a total hack. He's not. I mean, no, he played the AA All-Star
game. And no, I agree.
I mean, it is a pretty remarkable journey to even get to this.
I think it'll be very cool if he ends up doing it. I won't be mad about it. I'll be impressed. Absolutely. 100%. Seriously.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Saints running back Alvin Kamara worked as a garbage man this week in New Orleans.
Yeah, he does it every Tuesday during the season. He picks a blue-collar job. Cool little article that was written about it. That is like the neatest news. That's great news.
It is.
That's a I don't think I ever had a teammate even do that for a day ever. I never even thought about
it. And what's
that.
The thing? He wants to just keep it real?
Yeah.
Like I'm just trying to, you know, stay connected,
don't forget
stay
where
grounded
I came
to reality.
From. Don't forget where most come from. Don't forget where most of the packs are, folks are going to pack out that
awesome.
Superdome.
I think it's so cool.
What they do.
You want to talk about a brand? That helps your brand. Right?
I mean, Kyle was a gooey duck farmer. Howdy's held every blue-collar job known to mankind. I picked berries. I set up the farmer's market. I worked a summer at a construction pit.
I interned for a guy running for governor of Massachusetts. It was hard work fundraising. All right, we got to run. That is good news, bad news, no news every single day at 8:45.
What's so hard? You growing up, you didn't have one blue collar job.
Brock, I told you, I fundraised. I was a caller for a telemarketing firm.
Okay. He sold knockoff brand cell phones.
Yes. No, I sold real cell phones.
No, you did.
I worked at a singular store. I valeted, but that was later.
You worked for Pops in the family business.
I did do that. Yes, that's for sure. Me and my dad operating the old jinker out there. I did work for my dad.
What
was the inker for something, but it had a smudge on it, so it looked like a J. My dad and I would always call it the jinker. So, yeah, I did a lot of work at the Salk business, that's for sure. All right, the lines are open. How come no one's calling yet? 206-421-3776. I will shame the heck out of you guys. I will turn this busser. I'll turn this thing around and pull over. It is no longer NFL Seahawks season. And yet, we continue to do open phone lines. You have something to say about anything that we've been talking about this week, about a sports take that you've had on your mind, question you've got to ask, something you've got to get off your chest, 206-421-3776. We will answer and take all of your calls next. I'm Brock and Salk.